Galatians chapter 5, we're looking once again at the fruit of the Spirit, specifically today at the fruit of the Spirit of faith. So let's read once again Galatians 5, verse 16 down to verse 26. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to open up our understanding of the Word this afternoon, this area, Lord, that you would increase our faith, help our unbelief, Lord, that you might bless us, Lord, that you would impart to us this fruit of the Spirit of faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if we were to define faith, we think of it to trust, to believe. It is the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting upon their authority, or their veracity, or their knowledge of a certain thing without any other evidence, that we trust what someone says. We don't have to check it out for ourselves that we believe them. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we think theologically, in terms of faith, it's the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation. And we understand that for faith to be real, for faith to be effectual, for faith to be saving faith, it must affect much more than our mind. It must affect our will, and it must lead us to action. We see this spoken of in James chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, where he says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And we see that principle, that just in verse 26 it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." That faith produces something. Faith is an action. We think of these different fruit of the Spirit that we've looked at, that love is not just something that we have, it's not just an emotion, it's an action. And faith, in that sense, must be an action as well. If we were to try to define what would be the opposite of faith, what would be its corresponding work of the flesh, we would say that would be doubt, questioning of God, that we don't trust Him fully, we're not willing to step out in faith. But we recognize that in the same sense, if we might say we have a faith, but if it's not a strong enough faith that it does translate to the action, it more or less is the same as if we did not have any faith in many ways. And from our studying of the Scriptures, it becomes very evident that faith is crucial to our life as believers. We know in Hebrews 11 verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We recognize from 1 John 5 and verse 4, where it says that he that is born of God Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we sang about that, that faith is the victory. And so we look at it and we see the amount of victory, the degree of victory we have in the Christian life, or the lack thereof, has a great deal to do with our faith. And so we want to have a faith that's of a quality that will bring victory. But sometimes we find our faith is lacking and we don't have the victory we would desire. We recognize we are to live by faith. We are to walk by faith. That in the armor of God that we're given the shield of faith, whereby we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so if the faith we have is not what it should be, we are in danger in many different ways, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We see in Romans 5, verse 1, says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That we need it. We realize that it's by faith we're saved, that we're justified, and to live the Christian life, to have that grace in time of need, that we have access by faith. And so we realize we need to have faith, and we realize we need to have more of it than we do right now. And we want to ensure that it's of the proper quality, that it's not just a mental assent, but a belief of the heart that spurs us to action. And so with each of these fruit of the Spirit that we've examined, each time we've looked, well, how does God manifest this attribute? How does Christ in particular serve as the personification of this attribute? And we recognize with faith it is a little bit different. God is the object of our faith. God doesn't really have to have faith in himself because he knows that he exists. But we see it with Christ in the sense that even though we recognize he's the foundation upon which our faith is built, he's the author and finisher of our faith, that Christ became a man like you or I, and his life that he lived was characterized and patterned by faith. You don't see him panicking, you don't see him full of worry or doubt, that even with John the Baptist, that he'd served the Lord for many years, and it seemed when he was in prison that he had some of his disciples go and ask, are ye he that should come, and look we for another? And Jesus had to send him back word of the miracles that happened so he would know. But with Christ there was a perfect assurance, a perfect calmness, a perfect trust in the Father. And we see it most clearly in his prayers to the Father. One in such instances in John chapter 11. John 11, verse 41, where he's at Lazarus' tomb, and says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And we think of that, just the relationship he has, how he says it, that I thank you that you've heard me, I knew that thou always heard me. That it was just this assurance that he doesn't panic in that sense. And we find that he gave kind of this pattern of assurance and trust in the Father. And we see that he challenged his disciples and others towards faith. We think in Matthew chapter 8, when they went across the sea, that verse 23, it says, Matthew 8, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That in the midst of this storm, that he had a peace, he had an assurance, and he asked them, well, why did you not have this faith? And that he had directed this, he had decided this, and he did not need to fear, and he was trying to get them to see that they did not need to fear as well. We see it also in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 26, of how Jesus was walking upon the water. The disciples saw him, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So we see in this how, again, he's trying to challenge them to the faith, that he's trying to get them to see. Just the thought that he called them out on the water so that he could do something that would be totally impossible, but he had faith that it could happen. And we see that even in his Sermon on the Mount, that he told them not to take thought for their life, what they should eat or drink or what they would clothe. And he said, verse 26, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And so again and again we see that with the disciples he was trying to challenge them to have faith, to believe the Lord, not to be full of worry, not to be shaken, but to learn to trust him. We see as well through the scriptures that there's many different times that he saw faith and he commended people for it. We think of the centurion and of Capernaum, and the centurion wanted him to come, they wanted him to heal this servant of his, and Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And we find that when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you that I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." We think also of the Syrophoenician woman, that she came before the Lord, that the Lord did not answer her to begin with. The disciples asked for her to be sent away, but she persisted. And even though the Lord says, "Not meet to take the children's bread and to cast the dogs," she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And so we see that again, when people come, so often when he healed them, he would say, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And so he would grant that according to it. And so we see how valuable it was to Christ, how he, as a man, demonstrated his complete faith in the Father. We see how he sought to challenge his disciples, and we realize that he challenges us to that as well. We want to have more faith. We need to have more faith. But we think, well, how do we get more of it? How do we work it up? But we realize, as we've been studying the fruits of the Spirit, that these are not things that we really can work up in our own strength. That we can love to an extent in the flesh, but it's not the same quality of love, not even close to what God is able to manifest when we yield to Him and allow Him to do so. And we see the difference when He's able to do that, where it's a love that's selfless, a love that's self-seeking, a love that remains constant, even if it's repudiated. And so we see that the love that is the fruit of the Spirit that comes is something much greater. We think as well that we can have joy and peace in our lives, and it's easy to do that when everything is okay, but the times when everything's going wrong, when the bottom falls out of our life, everything's going sideways, that to have joy and peace in that we need God to give us that fruit of the Spirit so we're able to do that. And It's this thought of our faith as well. We can think that we can manifest it by our own strength, but it's going to be nothing like the real thing. That this faith that the Lord wants to impart to us through the Holy Spirit, this work of the Spirit that He seeks to do in us, and He will do in us as we yield to Him, that we recognize that it comes from Him. The closer we are to Him, if we walk in the Spirit, then we're going to manifest this life of faith more and more. Then we can think with the Lord Jesus, the faith that He had, the assurance, the trust, the calmness He had, His reliance upon the Father, that it was a byproduct of His relationship with the Father. Because He was close to His Heavenly Father, He was in communication with Him, there was just that calmness about Him. And so we recognize that if we're going to have faith with God, faith towards Him, that it's going to be a byproduct of our relationship with the Father and with the Son. That as we abide in Him, we will manifest these things. And so we want to think of that. How is it going to work? And it's as we've received Christ, as it says in Colossians 2:6, that we walk in Him, that we're rooted and built up in the faith and established in Him. And so the Lord wants to do a work in us. He wants to make us to love as Christ loved. He wants us to be able to have joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the midst of the storm. He wants us to show gentleness even with those that oppose themselves. He wants us to show long-suffering even to those that drive us to distraction. He wants us to show goodness and benevolence to those who may not ever return it to us. That's the same with, He wants us to have faith when everything around us seems to be falling apart. It doesn't seem like God's in control, that we can still trust Him. That's a work that He wants to do. And so we ask, well, how does the Holy Spirit do that work in us? And first of all, we see from Romans 10, verse 17, it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And so we recognize that the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to speak to us. And we are to walk by faith, and it's faith upon the sure foundation of the Word of God, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word, that we all that we do is to be according to the Scriptures. And so we need to study the Scriptures so that the Spirit would have opportunity to speak to us, that we would see what the promises of God are, see what He declares He will do on our behalf, that it's something that in our prayer life that it's one of those things where we're not going to ask if we don't think God's going to be able to do it. But when we read through the Scriptures and we see what it says, we see different things where He says, ask of Me and I will, or call to Me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That there's a lot of different times where God kind of asks us. He says, well, just try Me. Just put Me to the test. See if I'm going to come through with this or not. And that's what we want to realize, that when we follow the Word, if there's a promise and we do the one part, the Lord's going to fulfill His Word and do the other part. And so we want to learn that, know the truth of the Scriptures, know what the Lord says He's going to do, and that gives us the basis from which we can then step forward. We recognize that faith isn't just kind of a wild jump in the dark. It's a wild jump in the dark knowing that God's going to catch you. That He says, this is what I'm going to do. This may not make a lot of sense, but I want you to step forward in faith. And when we do that, and we find that it's exactly like He said, that what He said He would do, I didn't know all the details, but yet He made it all work out. And that's how He wants us to live. And so we see that he does this work of increasing our faith, first of all through the Word, and then we see as well through trial. This is found in 1 Peter. First Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. It speaks of that we're kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season. If need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That in order to increase our faith, He's going to put us in some difficult situations, some difficult trials, things where we would have reason even to doubt God's hand upon our lives. We think, well, He's forgotten us, He's neglected. But when we actually understand it, we realize far from that He's forgot us. He's actually directed to put us in this trial, and it's for a reason. And we maybe don't like it, but we realize He's trying to increase our faith. Just as I think with the disciples, with being out on the Sea of Galilee, calling Peter to walk on the water, that he's trying to test his faith. He's trying to push it beyond. That it's with any kind of development of any physical muscle, that it isn't something that, for instance, that you would say to someone, well, I want you to do 80 push-ups, and just expect them from the beginning to be able to do that. They might get to 20 or something like that. But if you slowly work with the person, say, okay, well, the next time do 25, the next time try to do 30, that eventually they're able to build up so that they might be able to do 80 push-ups. And it's kind of the same as He's trying to develop spiritual muscle within us. He's trying to cause us to grow in grace and in faith. And so He's going to push us. He's going to try our faith. He's going to put us in the fire a little bit for our own good, for our own strengthening, show us where we're weak, but give us a challenge to trust Him further. That we recognize that if He's going to help us and build this faith within us, this fruit of the Spirit, that He is going to push us beyond our comfort zone, beyond what we feel assured of, what we feel comfortable with. But He's doing a work in us. And it's the whole idea that if we walk in the Spirit, that we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, that He's leading us in a path. And it may not make a lot of sense, but if we follow that path in obedience, then He's going to help us manifest more and more faith. And you think of all the different ones in Hebrews chapter 11 that are mentioned so often, that the Lord just gave them a direction, something that they were supposed to do, a command that they had, whether it was Abraham to go to a land that he didn't know anything about, to slay his son, when he was supposed to be the one through the seed was called, that it didn't make any sense, but they stepped forward in faith, that they obeyed, and their faith was strengthened, and we call them the heroes of the faith now. And so we want to recognize that this is a fruit of the Spirit, that the Lord wants to work in us. It is a work of the Spirit in us, that the true faith that God wants for us is more than just positive thinking. It's resting upon what His Word says, resting upon the direction that the Spirit gives through His Word, and it's stepping out in faith so that we can partake of it. That we think of the one generation of the Israelites that departed from Egypt, that they never saw the Promised Land, that it was because of their lack of faith that they could not go in because of unbelief. But yet the next generation, they did have faith. They went in and they got to receive of the blessings of the land that flowed with milk and honey. And so that's the thought with us as well, that the Lord wants to increase our faith. He wants us to step beyond our comfort zone so that we might receive the blessing, so that we might get a hold of all that He has in store for us. And so it is this work that He does through the Spirit in us. It's not going to be easy. In some ways, we want Him to just kind of drop it in our lap, and that we'll have faith, and that we never have to be tried. We just kind of have the theoretical, well, if something bad happened, I know that I could still trust the Lord. No, He tries our faith, just like with Job, that He sometimes will bring us to a point of utter helplessness, utter desperation, where the only thing that we have to cling to is the Word of God. But if we stand firm, if we yield to the Spirit, we don't panic or doubt, but we rest upon His Word, rest upon God's enduring love and wisdom, that our faith will grow, and that we'll be blessed, and we'll be able to receive the blessings He has in store for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We just pray You would do this work in us of faith, Lord, that You have a plan and a purpose for us, that it may contradict what we would think would be the best thing to do, but we just pray You would help us to yield to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to allow Your faith to be demonstrated in us, Lord, that we would have complete assurance in You, and that we would take these steps that You would have us to take, Lord, and we don't know where they'll lead, but we know that they're part of Your plan. Just pray You would guide us and help us increase our faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to just one more hymn. Number 359, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, hymn 359.